Good morning, everyone. I'm excited to be here to talk about our VTRAX experience. And I tend to talk fast, and given we're at the time frame where we should be asking questions, I'll try to talk fast to get through the slides. I have a lot to share about Colorado's experience, and I want to start by just acknowledging some of the great support we've had from CDC. Angela referenced it takes more than a village to build a system, and there's certainly been a lot of folks involved. And so we'd like to thank all of them for the support, and some of these names are ones that I've personally connected with, but there's lots more that I don't have their names to share with you. In Colorado, we have a great team. Many of them are up here in the front and in the audience today. They're really the VTRAX experts. I get to be the person that shares some of their experience. But we're the one that had a sufficiently high volume of active VPOP providers at the time. And for us, when we moved from VPOP, we saw that as a great opportunity to move our providers off of fax machines, to do online ordering, and really have a system that was even better than VACMAN in our minds. We ID-proofed a lot of providers, got over 200 users, clinics that were actually using the system when we moved in. We saw that as a great asset. It was all of our safety net clinics, the high volume, tier one, tier two, we call them in Colorado, providers, the ones that are our best partners, the ones that were the ones that were willing to step up and help us with this transition. One of the things I saw as a manager was that there was sort of some exits, and I saw some colleagues exit at certain times in this process. And, there wasn't a clear definition or dividing line for us about we were on VPOP, did we want to go to VTRAX. We just saw it as the like highway. We're heading the same direction, and we expected really it to be a similar experience but just getting better. In reflection, as a manager, one of the things I could have paused and done that I didn't do was to really define what was going to be the success for this pilot. How were we going to know at the grantee level what was success for us and do that in partnership with NCRD to really know what the defined results were going to be and what was going to be involved as far as the scope and the time. I don't know that all that was predictable, but in reflection, it seems like an important consideration that I didn't pause and ask. And I look at Bob in the audience. Bob Swanson's been a great mentor for me as a program manager, and just a pilot's tough, but there's a lot of lessons that you have to learn along the way. And so asking us in the middle of a pilot, some of the bruises are probably going to come through as we describe the experience for us. So I have to say, we thought the Energizer Bunny worked in Colorado, but I agree with Jeannie's Energizer Bunny. And we have a great public health advisor who brings a ton of energy to us, along with a really robust team. And so we thought VPOP, we would just keep going and going and going. And I could have put names on here of all of our staff. One of the things we wanted to keep in mind was, what is VFC? And VFC is really about making sure vaccines available nationally, and I think this is one of the bullseyes we have to be sure we hit throughout the VTRAX to be sure that we're still making vaccine available at all the sites we need it. One of the things that became very evident to me is we have multiple priorities and multiple users. And so the needs at NCRD, the needs at the grantee, the needs at the provider, and the needs of the patient are all different, but they're all important, and they all have to be considered in any system as it's rolled out. And for us at the grantee, I've listed some. I've listed a few for NCRD, but it's really just a limited list. There's a lot of priorities and a lot of considerations, and they're different. And sometimes they may be competing. They may not actually align directly. What we saw was that a lot of issues were identified, and you'll see in more summary here. And some of those issues had to be narrowed down to what could be prioritized. And a further narrowing had to be done to identify, well, what's available in the contract, what can be fixed as a true defect in the contract. And so even a limited number could actually be addressed for inclusion to be resolved. We also saw some cultural differences. And so SAP is a whole new system for us with a whole new language. It wasn't built based on a design from our staff. It wasn't built based on a design from our providers. And it has, different language. So there's SAPanese, I think is how they say it, but it's Sapanese, thank you. It's a whole new way of speak, e-commerce, things that we're not familiar with. And there's military language. I think Angela referred to it, whether it's the command center or the Tiger teams or what it is, but it's all jargon, things that are new to us as a grantee and things that have an impact both for our staff and for the providers as they consider how to do training for providers. And this is one of the most significant cultural differences. It's probably just the West, but out there, when something doesn't work, we want the easy button. That's it. Just push the button, and then we'll figure out how to fix it. And it hasn't been an easy button when we've looked at V-Trax. And part of it is because it's a pilot. It's important to document. It's important to have a robust list. I thought that was a point that Maribel made. It's all documented, but that takes some effort to document it. There's been some challenges in the communications. There's certainly a complex system, but it's a system that's important to consider. We have call center and Tiger teams, and then the CDC command center. We've had initially daily calls for check-ins. They've gone to twice weekly calls. There's been a lot of email exchange. I'll share some of that with you. Defects lists have been compiled based on the problems identifications. Sometimes there's a possible workaround that gets then sent out to our staff, and then, of course, that has to be translated for providers and what they need to do. So this is just one example to share with you, but this is an email saying I need help, a specific issue isn't working, and here's a copy of the screenshot saying it's not working that was sent off, and a reply asking for additional information, and a response sharing the additional information, and then this is the continuation of that discussion, and it's significant. And I know it's a bit of comic relief at this point, but that's my staff time with those email exchanges. And it's tremendous, and it's not just their time, it's their patience, which on some days is much longer than I have. So it's significant. The other consideration is they're logging the problems and the number of problems that they've logged. And this just represents the number of pages of problems that have been logged by Colorado. So this is just Colorado's log. This is not the pages that represent all of the issues that may have been identified at NCRD or at Chicago or at the EXIS grantees. So there's a lot that has to be considered, sorted, prioritized, addressed, potentially resolved, or put for future consideration. There's a couple business impact examples that my staff could actually speak much more eloquently to than I can, but I can tell you that there are challenges in providing information out of this system that's not similar to VACMAN, and significant ones like identifying the appropriate contact. The system randomly selects the name from the array of contacts for a provider, and that's who gets stuck on the mailing list. That doesn't work if you're sending out a vaccine shipment and you need the right name to be on that to get it to the right person. And so there is a workaround. It's a six-step process that I can't even read to you clearly, but it's cumbersome. It's a cumbersome process to change that at this point. This is another example that's considerate, and we're actually right now using a different database to manage our contact list so that we can do that for mailing labels, for returns, as well as to manage for our annual enrollment process, because it takes now two reports to actually pull out of eTrax to get the information you need with fax numbers and email addresses, and there's still no way actually in the system to store that. So for some of us, some of the lessons is V-Trax doesn't yet equal VACMAN plus VPOP, which is kind of what we thought going into it. We now have about 75 clinics that are ordering online versus the 200 that we had in VPOP. We don't have the mailing lists, and the vaccine usage profiles are not yet used in the system. The critical business rules aren't there yet, so you know, some provider could order every day as many vaccines as they wanted, even if they were on suspension, and the system at this point isn't stopping those orders. We actually have all of our staff that are ordering, that are reviewing every single order, and it's a small staff that are doing this system for us, so they have to look at every one for their intent and whether we have the resources, the inventory. It's a slow system right now. It's slow to search, slow to load, and it's slow to view, which is significant when you think about the number of issues that they're having to review. And so not yet is V-Trax ready to do everything that we need it to do. There's still quite a bit of documentation and problem resolution that needs to be worked through. We need to have that all documented on what the new workarounds or the new workflows are going to be, and then those manuals and tools need to be created to train all the grantee staff to be able to train the provider staff. And we need specific guidance. One of the things that Maribel talked about was the explosion of our cleaned up data that went into V-Trax, and we are where staff diligently worked to clean up the data, and they're quite competent at doing that. But then when it went into the system, because the guidance didn't have all of the nuances, it created more duplicate records, like 1,900 of them. So it was significant for the input. And we don't know what VTRAX tomorrow will bring. Angela's referenced it a couple times, but there's a new release coming. I don't know what's going to be included in that new release, and we don't know what will be in a new contract. And so what might be a priority for us at the grantee level, we don't know really where the status will be of that being included in the next releases. There's a lot of time, a lot of commitment, resources throughout to manage this. And I think that's a significant consideration when we think about rolling out in 2012 what's going to happen at all the grantee levels when you think about the resources that are going to be needed for it to implement this. I don't think, given the economic climate and the federal budget, that we're going to have new staff to help us to do this. And so how are we going to realign priorities to make this system work? Because providers and patients are the ones ultimately that are dependent on being sure that the system works to get the vaccine out there. So I think we need a robust 2011 work plan. I think that work plan has to consider what else we need to invest in the piloting. I think it also has to be collaborative. I think we have to look at what has been identified as defects or problems with the system and figure out the best way to share the decision-making and identifying which ones would be first to be fixed and which ones could be later to be fixed. I think all the efforts that are done at NCRD and at the two grantees that are doing the direct ordering and the two grantees that are doing the EXIS are going to benefit us all. And so however we can engage other grantees, I think, will be important. And, of course, the EXIS folks are going to talk in another session about their experience, so I encourage you to hear that. So just two final slides. In Colorado, we had thought we would just take all 200 clinics and put them into VTRAX from VPOPs, and that's not the direction we're going. So we are staying with our 75 clinics, and we're maintaining those relationships. You might remember at the beginning, I said these are our critical partners. These are the ones that are our safety net. We can't afford to lose them, and we can't afford to not have them be successful in their vaccine ordering. And so we're doing what we can to stabilize and, again, manage through the problems as they're arisen. And we're recharging batteries, and we're finding ways to keep the staff that's really been working tirelessly. I think that date was D-Day for them in December to make this system work. So thank you all for your attention.
All right, thank you. And unfortunately, there was enough information to share that we do not have time for Q&A. Unless you want to stick around, we can stick around if you are wanting to take part of your lunchtime to do that, answer any questions that you may have. If you have to move on, I think everybody received an evaluation form. Joanne, those were handed out. And if you have any questions and you don't have time to ask them now, you can write those on the evaluation form and get that to us. You can drop it off at booth 100 in the exhibition area, and we'll make sure that we get an answer back to you on that. So those of you that are here, if you have a question, please come to the mic. The session is recorded, so we want to make sure we get your question recorded as well.
Hi, Brad.
Hey, Jim.
I have a question that was brought up at the vaccine managers meeting a few months ago. And it's basically in this version of VTRAX with the manual entry, when providers or grantees are picking vaccines, can they point and click on a vaccine in presentation, or do they have to enter a NDC code string? How is that vaccine being inputted?
At the provider level you're talking about?
Or at the either way. If there's a difference.
You ladies can chime in on this since you're doing it, but there are pictures of the product that come up as well. You can click that way. You can do it by NDC number. You can do it by product name also.
Jim. For the provider module, they can, look at a picture. That's what they, can search for. For the grantee, you actually have to put NDC product, and that's been the challenge for us. I mean, we actually had to develop a workaround in order for, the staff to be able to manage that instead of actually having to have a, sheet of paper with all the NDC, lists. We were able to, kind of work it out. Where now we're doing some cutting, and pasting at the grantee module.
And we have added grant functionality.
Okay.
For the grantee. Is this not on? It is on. Okay. So it was there for the providers, but we have added that for the grantee now. So you can actually search by grant.
Yes, next question.
Hi, I'm Cindy Finley from Pennsylvania. Just a timeline question. You mentioned in the beginning that you were looking at first quarter 2012, but with the caveat of those states that have a registry, would there be any possibility of them going on earlier than that?
You know what? We've actually toyed around with that idea, and that possibility is out there. Just stay tuned, because I don't want to commit to anything, but we are looking at if you're a registry. Because still, even with the registry, there's a lot of prep that goes into it, even with the registry states. So we are looking at what are the possibilities and exploring our options, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Laura Harris from Kentucky. You all spoke several times about not being able to get reports out of the system and mailing lists and things like that. Is there any way to go back and look at history from your VACMAN programs that you had? And because we do a lot. I mean, all of our mail lists that go out of our office go out using VACMAN. And if we lose our mailing option, I can't even imagine not having that for 2 or 3 months. Let alone longer term than that. And we use the history a lot. I mean, we've been known recently to even go back before we went to the depots where we looked at our history, and we pulled, 8 years ago records and things like that. And because there's history in VACMAN, we can do that. But if you're talking about losing all of this or not being able to access it, that's what I'm concerned with.
Well, I hear the anxious in your voice, and I think it's appropriate at this point. I think the staff that works in our data unit, and I have a very robust data management team. I have a data manager along with some data specialists and data analysis folks that really know how to manage systems and manage data, and that's why they have a secondary system right now in place.
So you have pulled, you knew this ahead of time, so
system? But they've had to pull and manage it in a separate database to be able to be sure that those reports are available. It's not that they're never going to be available, but it's as we're navigating right now, it's important that we have them available.
Can I just add to that, just a point of clarification, all the data that's available with VACMAN, we are storing that in our data warehouse, so you will have access to that.
So if we have a provider, we need to go back if we're doing a fraud and abuse case or something like that.
And let me just tell you, and we're leaving it up to you to decide. So as far as those variables, but the data that's in VACMAN.
Well, believe me, I keep everything from 1994. So, I mean, I still have all that. I keep stuff back from 1994 when we started.
The data that's in VACMAN, you have that ability. We will be storing it in a data warehouse.
For Chicago, we are still using VACMAN for that type of, information.
That's what I was wondering. If we could keep the VACMAN system going and we could put our addresses and things like that and pull our mailing labels.
We're not able to, export or utilize VTREX currently in order to, print those mailing labels, export them. We are actually still using VACMAN.
Great.
So when we have a new enrollment, it goes into VACMAN, that contact information. Then we have to create that same provider in VTREX. But that was, the workaround for us because we do have a lot of, legacy information, from 1994, and beyond. And there's a lot of information. Plus, they use that information when they're going to approve an order, especially for those providers that are, a quarterly type of provider or as needed provider who may just be ordering right now. We have to look at that.
And that's exactly what we do too.
Of clarification, because I don't want anyone to be misled. At some point in time, we will retire VACMAN, but the VACMAN data, all of our legacy data, we are storing it in a legacy data warehouse, so you will still have access to that. But I don't want anyone to think that 5 years from now, VACMAN is still going to be up and running. But the data that's in VACMAN, you will have access to that.
But you will wait and do that after we get the mailing labels and VTRACs and all the kinds of things, the history and all that information that we need.
Right.
we won't take it away from us before we get to the point that we
and
can do it
would,
in VTRAC.
What I would say what we need to do is just to make sure, like I said, you will have the availability of that data from the data warehouse, but if there are some things that you think that may be missed, because when I hear about creating mailing labels, I mean, the data will be there, but I just want to make sure, if there's something we need to address, I want to make sure that we have sufficiently addressed it in VTRACs. Or so maybe if there's something that we need to talk about or, you know, an experience. Okay.
Yeah.
It is
an enhancement.
As long as it's logged, I just want to make sure. Okay,
no, it's been logged, and, you know, that
those enhancements are
it's an inversion, too. That's what we were told.
Greg Reed from Maryland. Question for Maribel and Joni. Maribel, how long does it take your staff to put in one order?
Anywhere from 15, you know, to 25 minutes. Because,
15 to 25 minutes per order.
Because of the amount of data that we enter. So
and
we,
what do you enter?
There's elements require elements. So you have to enter inventory, provider inventory, and also verify temperature logs. Verify that you actually create a temperature log doc entry that you actually have received the temperature log. And then you process your order. But for us, we are actually putting DOSIS admin data by age. So if you have DTaP, you have to go in there and enter DOSIS admin, you know, by one, less than one. So for us, that's probably where it takes the majority of our time is doing that, you know, that accountability data, which is important for us. And, you know, when we were doing the time analysis, we felt very strongly that we were not going to, you know, give that piece up because that's an accountability that is very important for us. We do use it. It may be different for other grantees.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you eliminated the DOSIS administered reporting, how long would it take you?
You probably could process an order, you know, anywhere from, you know, 5 to maybe 10 minutes.
5 to 10 minutes? Mm-hmm. That's still so long. Joni, what about
so
you
we were
for your providers?
Minutes. We were 4 minutes pre VTRACs, mm-hmm. and we now average 8 minutes post VTRACs. But we were at about 20 minutes when we first started, and that's the efficiency.
Is that the providers means. Putting in the order, or that's your staff putting in the orders for 8 minutes?
It's staff.
This is staff.
My what about the providers in Colorado?
It's longer.
It's longer?
It's longer.
Any
and we
idea?
We have not evaluated that, Greg. It's one of the considerations that we think is important to do, but the provide, and that's one of the reasons why we're using our best partners to do it, because it's taken them longer and they're willing to do it.
So we're going anywhere from 8 minutes to 25 minutes per order, depending on exactly what specific elements your state wants to put in.
Correct.
In addition to the required elements. Thank you.